For sure. What a great thing. What a great way to start off our fall ministry season. Hey, what's the difference between, this sounds like a joke, but it's not. What's the difference between a marathon runner and someone who's just a couch potato sitting still? I mean, both people could have similar interests, similar likes. They might, work in similar fields, have similar families, have similar upbringings. But really, the bottom line when it comes to the race is that one person decided at some point in time to get up and start moving and start training and start going in a certain direction. And the other is sitting still. And I want to introduce you to someone from our church who I think is pretty great, who over the past even year specifically, who's been really moving and getting involved a lot here at Country Hills. His name's Caleb Yanhunen. And so, Caleb, if you want to come on up, why don't you welcome him when he comes? And I just wanted to take some time with Caleb to ask him a few questions this morning as we have our next step Sunday. So, Caleb, when did you start coming to Country Hills?
We moved here around 8 years ago, so we started coming to Country Hills like right after we moved here. So, yeah, around 8 years ago.
Because there's a big deal with the sauna. Is that the sauna moving from their last place? So they have a pool and a sauna, and so it's pretty great. And it's not your typical sauna. It's great. So, when you first started coming, were you involved in anything here?
Well, there's a food bank that happened here a while ago, so we were helping out with that, and then that ended. So
okay, so involved in a couple things. Since you started coming to Country Hills, what are some other ways you've connected in, either attending something or serving, or what different areas have you been involved here at Country Hills?
About 2 years ago, I started helping out with the projection back there, and about 6 months ago, I started playing guitar for the worship team, and I recently started helping out with guest registration downstairs. And I also had a job here over the summer helping out around the church and also helping out with the music camp that happened here.
Yeah, so so you've gone from attending and helping kind of in one area to getting involved all over the place. Why did you do that? Like, how did you start getting more involved? Why would someone do that?
Well, the volunteering options were like areas of interest, so I like helping out with tech stuff, so the projection was perfect, and I love playing guitar, so perfect.
It's a good fit. How has your relationship with Jesus changed as you've continued to grow and get involved here?
Well, as a volunteer here, we pray a lot, so my praying habits have grown, and I have an urge to pray more during the day.
That's awesome. And how do you think, have there been any ways that God's used a life to impact the lives of others through your involvement here at church or at home or just in your growth period over the past few years, your time here at Country Hills? How has God used you to influence the lives of others?
Well, I hope that people see me volunteering and then they have the want to volunteer here or anywhere. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been awesome to see Caleb in action. As I said, I mean, he's kind of downplaying all the stuff he does. He serves here a lot. I come in Sunday mornings and I'm like, Caleb's on again. He's in the projection or he's music or he's helping a registration downstairs, and it's phenomenal. We love young people here and love people who want to engage, and more important than anything, love it when someone loves Jesus and is willing to be changed and shaped. So let me pray with you and for you. Father, thanks so much for Caleb. Thanks for the Yanhunen family. Thanks for his involvement here. And God, how you're shaping him and molding and making him. Thank you that he's moving and he's engaged and he's not only volunteering in ministries, but he's taking to heart the encouragement to grow in his prayer life and in his intimacy with you. And so we pray that over this school year, as he serves here and interacts with friends at school and all the other places he's engaged and involved with at work, and may you give him opportunity to shine your light, be salt and light. And thanks so much, God, that you brought him to be a really important part of our Country Hills Church family. Amen. Thanks so much, Caleb. It's awesome. Give him a hand. God has a purpose for you. Do you know that? God has a purpose for Caleb. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for our church family. And the two are intertwined. What God has called you to and what God has called our church to go hand in hand. So Caleb's life and interaction with Country Hills is just like yours, and they work hand in hand. Now, some people are living that out really well. Some people are engaged in God's mission where they're planted and where they're living, and they make it a regular part of their church family, be on board with that as well. And others are just getting started. And so today, my desire and my heart is that just like a marathon, which is only a journey of steps, that's all it is, just like your life, it's a journey of steps. I want to get you to make a next step with Jesus today. I want to help you move from sitting to following. Just like Caleb began by attending things and kind of getting involved, he began following, and it had impact all over the place, not just at church, but in his personal life especially as well. So today I want to get you to take a next step in your journey with Jesus. Now, I was searching the internet for some resources for the message today, and I came across a devotional by Pastor Rick Warren from the past year, and it was entitled 10 Verses That are Going to Change Your Life. So that kind of piqued my interest. I thought, what are these 10 verses? And it referenced this whole idea of moving from sitting to following. So I thought, this might be something that'll be good. Do you want to hear those verses? Do you want to see 10 verses that will change your life? I know I did. Here they are. Mark 10, if you've got your Bibles. If not, you can follow on the screen. Mark 10, starting at verse 42. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus said. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Those 10 verses talk about a changed life in a blind man named Bartimaeus. How are they going to change our life? Listen, this whole chapter of Mark 10, it's a phenomenal chapter. And if you're familiar with attending church or the Bible, you may have heard a number of these narratives before. And we often take them as separate pieces. But Jesus is traveling towards Jerusalem. And in this, we see that he's moving on past Jericho towards Jerusalem. He's moving to Jerusalem because he knows he's going for one final time where he'll be betrayed and crucified. So everything he says and does in his last weeks are significant. And in Mark 10, we see that he interacts with several groups of people on his way to be betrayed. He interacts with children. He interacts with a young, rich ruler, a guy who's got status and money and he's young. He interacts with his disciples, specifically two proud ones, James and John. And then he interacts with this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Let me give you a bit of a summary of how Jesus interacts with each of these people along the journey before we look at Bartimaeus. With the children, the crowds are trying to say, go away. Don't bug us. Jesus is here. It's important stuff. And Jesus welcomes the children. And what does he say? He says, unless you have faith like this child, you can't enter or be a part of my kingdom. And then from there, he interacts with this rich young man who says he's been following God since young age, been obedient since he was little. And he comes before Jesus and he gets on his knees and he says, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus, the text says that Jesus has a deep love for this man. And he challenges this man to do the one thing he needs to do to follow Jesus with all his heart. Sell everything he owns. Because this man was holding on to his possessions, holding on to his position, holding on to his level of obedience and good behavior, something he could present before Jesus to say, hey, I'm pretty good. What else can I do? And all the crowds who had rejected the children said, oh, this guy's got to make it to Jesus. Jesus, you have an audience with this guy. And then right after that, Jesus debriefs with his disciples a bit, and they say, if this guy can't enter the kingdom of heaven, who can? And Jesus says something very important. He says, look, humanly speaking, it's impossible for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven, especially when they're leaning on their own gifts and on their own merit in their own way. But with God, nothing is impossible. You've got to lean on God. You've got to come to me to enter my kingdom. You've got to lean on me. And then he takes a leadership moment and he talks about how we should lead, because two of his disciples come and say, hey, Jesus, we've been following you pretty good, which is mind-boggling. They've just seen Jesus rebuke a rich man who left downcast, welcome a little child. He's just given them this lesson on how to enter the kingdom, and with God it's impossible. And then James and John come and say, hey, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, do you think the two of us could have like these places of honor? They totally missed what Jesus was saying. And so Jesus says, with you it will be different. We don't lead out of a position of power. We become servants, and we put others above ourselves, and we sacrifice. And he says, anyone who puts aside things, throws aside things that are really important, when you leave your family or your stuff and you stop clinging to this world and you follow me, then you'll find me. And then we find he comes upon this blind man, this Bartimaeus who's sitting at the side of the road begging because he was destitute. If you were blind or injured in that culture, and that's part of why we support Christian Horizons in third world nations, because it's way more difficult for those people with those type of needs in a third world country as it was at this time. He's destitute, he's blind, he's begging for his food, he's got no other means or source. And he says this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's shouting it as loud as he can. Now, here's what I want to do. Here's the pastor in me and the Jesus follower who I am. All I want to do is ask this question. How can I get from sitting beside the road to following Jesus on the road? It's a good question. It's a valid question, right? It's the wrong question. Absolutely wrong question. That's the question I want to ask. That's what I want to preach. That's where I want to go. I'm like, Jesus, tell me what I need to do. Just get me set up. That's exactly what the rich young ruler had done. And if we ask that question prematurely, we're going to miss the whole heart of what Jesus is trying to capture in his whole journey. Everyone who's with him, he's got a common thread and a common theme. Do you hear it? That we're not supposed to seek position of power. That we're not supposed to lean on our own merit. That we need to have childlike faith. Who does he receive and say, you're a part of my kingdom? Children, disciples, men who've given up all sorts of stuff in their life to follow Jesus, and a blind beggar. But he rejects those who want position or power or seem like they have it all together in their own merit. And so we find in verse 47, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus, and he heard, right? It's important. He didn't see. He didn't know where Jesus was. He just heard that Jesus was coming. Crowds were talking, crowds who traveled before Jesus, and Jesus kind of in the center, and crowds behind Jesus. He overheard it, and so he wanted to meet this Jesus, and he starts shouting as loud as he can to get Jesus' attention. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people said. So what did he do? He shouted louder. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. The crowds tried to silence Bartimaeus in the same way they tried to silence and get rid of the children. They were annoying. They weren't worthy of Jesus' time. That's not who Jesus wants. That's not who he's going to save. Leave us alone. Let us do our thing with Jesus. But Jesus hears him, and he welcomes him too. And he shouts through the crowd for people near him to tell Bartimaeus to come. Catch this. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat and came to Jesus. Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you. That's our message for today. Cheer up wherever you're at in your life, no matter what's happening in your life at this period of time. Encouraged, discouraged, trouble, things are going well. Cheer up. He's calling you, and he says, He says, come. Imagine that. The crowd was so large that Jesus had to like play the telephone game. And Bartimaeus is shouting at one side, Jesus, he's sitting on the road. No one can see him. All they can hear is this guy shouting. And Jesus shouts, hey, tell him to come here. And so they say, cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. And he's calling you still. Each one of you, he's calling you. Jesus hears your heart. He knows where you're at. And when you call out to him, when you feel neglected or you feel like he's not watching, if you read any of the Psalms, you hear that again and again. God, where are you? Why don't you care? But Jesus is calling. He hears you and he says, come, come. The rich man wouldn't give up his riches. But Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and runs towards Jesus. Don't miss this. Don't miss how that would happen. Bartimaeus was poor, and it got cold in Israel at night. In fact, we have other narratives about where Jesus says, look, if someone asks for your cloak, give them your coat as well, or your tunic, give them the out, which was a big sacrifice because people didn't have as much, especially a blind beggar by the side of the road. That was probably his only earthly possession. I don't know, but probably. And what does he do? He throws it off. He doesn't care. He doesn't need that thing helping. I have terrible eyes. Okay, I only really see out of one eye, and I have to wear a contact lens or glasses. And when I don't have any of that on, I often have to be led. I have problems. There is no way in the world, even though I see blurry blob fuzziness and not completely blind, but legally I would be, there's no way I'm running. Absolutely no way I'm running when I don't have lenses or glasses on. Like, that's crazy. I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to run into something. And there's no way, if all of you were gathered together, I would book it to the back as fast as I can, tripping over people and hitting you and, you know, yelling. But this guy throws off everything and he doesn't care. And he books it to Jesus. Catch this. The rich young ruler knelt and wouldn't let go of his riches. But this guy lets go of everything for Jesus. Most days, most people who follow Jesus can't be bothered to spend time with him because we're holding on to other stuff, but this guy, he lets it all go. Most Sundays, many people don't want to bother going to church, don't want to bother connecting throughout the week, don't want to bother with things that are going to help us help one another follow Jesus. We don't want to be bothered because we're holding on to stuff. Some of it's good stuff, but if it's not Jesus, it's not worth it. And this guy drops it all and runs to Jesus. And here's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't confront him. Jesus doesn't rebuke him. He simply says, what do you want for me to do? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road. We got to look at every single word of these verses. Every single word is important. That's why these are 10 verses that change your life. When Jesus says, what do you want from me? It's not a, what do you want from me? He said that to his disciples sometimes, right? He was frustrated sometimes and he said that. This is a, tell me your heart desire. Look, I hear you. I know you. I know you. He did a similar thing with Zacchaeus. Went to his house and spent time with him. Tell me your heart. Pray to me. Just be who you are. Don't put anything on. What do you want? And the blind man doesn't say he wants one thing. He says two. He says, Rabbi, I want to see. Why is that important? Rabbi is the Hebrew term for teacher. What a rabbi wasn't just a school teacher. It wasn't a pastor. It wasn't any of these things. It was someone behind whom you would follow. And you wanted to become like them. You would listen to their teachings, live with them, stay with them so you could become like them. And this blind man moved from Jesus, son of David, to rabbi. Mary said that when she saw him in the garden. Rabboni, rabbi, teacher, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus says, your faith, your childlike faith, exactly what I evidenced however long ago when he brought that child in and said, unless you have this faith like a child, you can't enter my kingdom. He says, your faith has made you well. What does he do? He followed Jesus down the road. He didn't go back to his begging station. He didn't go back to his cloak. Maybe he did later, I don't know. But listen to this. Do you know that the Bible wasn't written with chapters and verses? Maybe you don't realize that. But people put them in so we can find things. And thankfully, that's an easier way than unrolling a whole scroll. It's great. But sometimes we have a break in a chapter and we miss the narrative. Do you know what happens in the very next verses, the very next chapter? Jesus gets two of his disciples and he says, hey, you guys, go into town and there's a young donkey there, a colt. I want you to untie it and tell the owner the master needs it. And they bring the donkey back and Jesus climbs on this donkey and he rides into Jerusalem while the people sing Hosanna to him, meaning save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In their hearts, they're making him king and they lay their coats down and they put palm branches down. We call that the triumphal entry. This guy, Bartimaeus, he followed Jesus. Not only that, he followed him down the road. Do you know who I think is in the crowd? Bartimaeus. If you went from being blind to seeing, how loud do you think you're singing? Right? He probably booked it back, grabbed a coat so he could lay it down. I don't know if he did that or not. Who knows? But he didn't care. Do you think his life changed only? No. Think about his friends and family. Do you think he's telling others about Jesus? Think he's bringing others to Jesus? I was once blind. Now I see. Jesus completely changed his life. Jesus is calling you in the same way to follow him. Everything we do here at Country Hills is about that. People helping people answer the call to follow Jesus. That's it. Everything we do. You will spend a very small amount of time at church and church activities in your life. So when we gather together, when we do something as a church family, we want to make it matter in your everyday life so that as you follow Jesus down the road, it makes a difference. It's not about church activities. We gather so that when we scatter, we're strong and we're salt and we're light and we're making a difference in impacting others' lives because we were once blind, but now we see. There's something I learned when I was in college that stuck with me forever. And Jesus actually says the same thing in Mark 10 to the rich young ruler. Following Jesus is simple, but it's impossible. Jesus says, look, humanly speaking, it's impossible to follow me. It's harder, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who's holding tight to their life to follow me. It's impossible because we can't do it on our own. It's simple because we rely upon Jesus. So I want to keep things really simple this morning as I encourage you to take a next step in the context of Country Hills Church with Jesus. What we do in here, I want to make a difference in your everyday life because your mission, your calling is tied to our mission and our calling. So there's five areas of next steps I want to talk about really briefly. First, so following Jesus, growing, connecting, serving, or giving. What about following Jesus? What next step could you take by way of following Jesus? You can fast forward. Go to the next one there, Caleb. So following Jesus. If you have never begun following Jesus, move from sitting to following. Explore it. Talk to me. Talk to another leader. Talk to a person who brought you. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you set up. We'll help you. It's worth it. It's awesome. You get new life. Start a relationship with Jesus. And if you're kind of wandering and not there, just come back. It's always one step back. One step back. No matter how many steps you take away from Jesus, it's always one step back. Okay, secondly, growing. Why is it important that we keep growing? Why do we have a focus on growing here? Sometimes we think of growing in our spiritual lives as information. So you go to a seminar, you pick up some. It's not about information, even if you gain information. Do you know what spiritual growth is about? Two things, identity and intimacy. What we do here to help you grow is about your identity in Christ. The moment you decide to follow Jesus, you become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and we spend the rest of our lives figuring out how to live in this newness of life. You need to learn what your new identity is. And that identity, in order to stay strong, requires intimacy, spending time with Jesus. So here's a few ways you can do that. Come to Sunday service regularly. You'll meet some people and you'll get a chance to worship and gather with others and be taught, and your kids can have some of that too. That's a great way to do that. Come to prayer gatherings or pre-service prayer at 9:20. We meet and we pray together. Caleb's talked about that, how it shaped and changed his life out there because of what we're doing here. Come to Set Free. talk more about that in the next little while, but it's a retreat in November to help you overcome and be free from sin, or come to the Hearing God seminar in the spring. Connecting. We talk about connecting a lot. Why we need to be connected. People helping people follow Jesus. Because I need you and you need me. None of the New Testament is written on an individual basis. We see the lives of individuals, but it's always in the context of community where we challenge and pray for one another. And so we need to be connected to one another. A few ways you can do that is what we've done here. Take advantage of the greeting time, coffee after service, potlucks, things like that. Come to the welcome and dessert night next week if you're newer here. Get to know some new people. That's how our relationships begin. Join a small group. That's where we be family to one another. You can hop on the website, search all our small groups, find out where they meet, when they meet, and what they're studying, and pick. Or talk to me or Randall at Next Steps Kiosk. We'll get you connected with a smaller group of Country Hills Church. And finally, membership. Serving. Caleb talked about this. One important next step is when we start to use our gifts. We learn our spiritual gifts, and God doesn't grow those in a classroom where we check off things and say, I think these are my gifts. That's a good tool. He does that as we serve, as we get up from sitting and start following along the road. Do you know that Jesus called the world, those who are lost, sheep without a shepherd? He said they're helpless and harassed. And when we serve together and when we're going in the same direction, we have opportunity to make an impact for Jesus on our world, usually like we can't on our own, or at least in a different way. And so when we serve our community or do things in our church or support missions or serve in any way together, we're moving on mission with what Jesus is calling us to. So you could come to a Next Step seminar to learn about who Country Hills Church is and how to get involved. You could start to volunteer at Country Hills Church. You could start to volunteer in the community where you are. Whatever you do, just get up and start moving. And as I'm talking about these next steps, now some of these are qualitative. You know, that when Jesus calls you and he wants you to take a next step, sometimes you don't even change anything you're doing. He's asking you to change how you're doing it. Deepening in prayer, growing in your skills or your walk with God. Some of them are qualitative. Some are quantitative. Start something new. Put something away. Go in a new direction with me. But we're following. And the final way is giving. Giving does a couple things. When we give regularly to God, when we give to Country Hills, it's not primarily to support a church. It's primarily to evidence in our life the difference between Bartimaeus and the rich young ruler. Bartimaeus threw everything aside and pursued Jesus, and the rich young ruler held on to what he had. When we give of our first and our best, our first fruits, we're saying to Jesus, it's you and you alone. And the benefit of that is that what we give ends up working on mission to what Jesus is calling us to. Things like Ethiopia and ministries and stuff that sometimes takes money to do. So what's the top five next steps you could take this fall? If you're looking for me to boil it down, make it simple, here's the top five, I think, that most people could do. One or more of these things. First of all, begin following Jesus or come back to him. Secondly, attend a set-free retreat this fall. Overcome sin. Finally, put it aside. Join a small group. Learn what family is all about. Attend the Next Step seminar this fall. Find out who we are. What's our history? Where are we going? How can you pull in the same direction as the rest of us and be a part of our mission? And finally, join the Ride for Refuge team. I'll be riding. So join the team or donate towards the team or donate towards someone who's riding or walking. Do you know that we're all like Caleb? We're all like Bartimaeus. We all have opportunities. Jesus is calling us all. But only a few say yes. Maybe you haven't started to follow Jesus. Or maybe you're tired, you're apathetic, you've been through it, you just want to rest. He's still calling you. He's still calling you to move from sitting to following you, following him. And he'll never stop calling. Jesus is calling you to move from sitting to following. Will you take the next step today? Jesus is calling you to move from sitting to following. Will you take the next step today? When I was a teenager, grade 11, I was really walking the fence. I was super involved in church. I'd done Bible quizzing and youth group and went to camp and was on missions teams and all sorts of stuff. By every account, I was a good church kid, right? At school, I lived a very different life. I wasn't drinking, partying, or anything like that. But man, I had a foul mouth, and my heart was hard towards God. I was the rich young ruler who would sit before Jesus and say, "What more can I do for you? Look at all the stuff I'm giving you, God." But in grade 11 at a youth retreat, the leader said, "Look, some of you know you got to get your life right with God." And I was encouraged to take that step. And he said, "Look, anyone who wants to, go to the back. Just stand up, go to the back, pray with the leader." And out of a group of about 75 or 80, you know, I thought a lot would go. And I fought with God internally. And I tested God and I said, "Fine, I will go if this one other particular person goes." And I sat back and went, Out of 75 or 80 students, one person got up and went to the back. That person. So I went up to the back. I didn't realize the significance of that step. I had no clue. I was praying, I was crying uncontrollably. It led to God breaking bondages of sin in my life, led me to taking on steps of leadership, learning to pray, starting to read my Bible, starting to develop a real relationship with Jesus. I got baptized shortly after, and suddenly like this lid I'd been hitting in my spiritual growth came off, and the world was new. My relationship was fresh with Jesus. I was given leadership opportunities and soon enrolled in Bible college, where I received a call for ministry and I met my wife. Everything changed in my life because of that one step. Now, I'd taken lots of steps before and lots of steps after, but that, as I look back, was probably the most significant step in my life. And I wasn't on the side of the road calling out, "Jesus, Son of David." I was simply willing to get up and go. And some of us just need to get up and go in an area of our life, for Jesus to do something. Do you know, all it took was for Bartimaeus to put faith in Jesus. Simple childlike faith. Not his gifts, not his abilities. And the question is this: will you today be the one who calls out above the crowd? Will you be the one who goes to the back, so to speak? Will you be the one who, despite your blindness, despite your fumbling around, despite what you have to throw out, will you be the one who stands up and races after Jesus and says, "It's now. It's now or never"? Do you know that there are some people here who will volunteer for the first time today and in this season, and they will become the very leaders who will take Country Hills to a new opportunity in our community and world to reach people for Jesus like we've never before, because we need you. You're the leader to do it. Do you know that there will be people here who sign up for Set Free retreat and start looking into that and come and put sin behind them that's held them bondage for years and begin to walk with others to free them too? That's you. There are some people here who will join a small group and will experience love and community for the first time and then offer that to others who need it too. So many people at so many churches feel alone, feel tired, feel broken down. They come, they go, and they have no relationship. We have to get past that. Some of you will join a small group and find that for the first time in your life here. There'll be some of you who learn to pray. Some of you start to come to prayer gatherings and other prayer opportunities, and you learn to pray and learn to read your Bible, and you become deep spiritually, and you literally change the spiritual atmosphere of our church, our city, our nation, and our world. You. But Jesus is waiting for you to call out, get up, and start following. Some of you will start to give of your time, your energy, and your money for the first time. And you'll begin to fund things that weren't available before. It's not that God doesn't have the money. He gave it to you. And some of you will start to do that and get behind things, and we'll start to see opportunities we didn't before. Ministry doesn't take money, but God wants to free your money so you're involved in the ministry. And finally, there's going to be some people here who follow Jesus for the first time. Follow Jesus for the first time. And you're going to become his disciple and his follower and an unstoppable force in your family and in your community. And your life is going to change. And as others see that you've gone from blindness to sight, their life is going to change. And others who know them are going to change. It all happens with the next step. And so as much as what I've talked about in many ways talks about some Country Hills programs, it's not about the programs. The programs are the opportunity and the excuse for God to get a hold of our hearts, for us to work together here so that when we're apart, we're still going in the same direction. I believe that God has a next step for everybody. When I open my Bible every morning, I ask God what he has for me. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to stop? Is there an insight I'm missing? How do I do this? I don't have the strength to do this. Answer this. I'm looking for a next step. God, what do you have for me today? And that's all I'm asking of you. I don't deserve anything I've been given. I shouldn't be a pastor up here. I can't see. I'm not good at sports. I was never popular. I say the wrong things all the time. I'm a massive generalist. I'm good at lots of stuff and not excellent at anything. There's nothing in me that I should be here doing what I'm doing. But here's the one thing I do. Whenever Jesus calls, I follow. There have been very few times since that time that I've said no. There have been some. But most of the time I'm saying yes, and I'm excited. Can you hear that? And I'm excited for you and who you are and what God's going to do in and through us. So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to just kind of call an audible, all right? Chrissy, do you want to just come and play some music? Quiet. I really love that new song. We were going to close with that, but we're not going to. So here's what I want us to do. I'm just going to pray over you as we dismiss. And if you need to take a next step, sometimes we need to get up and go. You just come forward. Come. We've got prayer team ministers. We've got elders. There are people here who know you, your friend. They'll come and pray with you. Some of you need that. Some of you need to physically get up and go forward. Because if I would have sat there in that seat and went, yep, God, we're good, that person went, I'm there in my heart, it wouldn't have been the same. It's not the same. Bartimaeus had to get up. You don't have to get up, but some of you need to. So let's stand. And I'm going to just pray for us. And as I'm praying, I want to invite you to just come forward if you need to pray or lay some things before God or take a next step. And then after I'm done praying, we'll be dismissed and others can come and pray with you. Let's try and keep it a bit of a quiet space in here as you can go and get your kids and get some food and things like that, but just up around here. So as I'm praying, don't miss the opportunity. Just get up, come forward, don't wait. I couldn't wait. I tested God. He called my bluff. I hope that happens this morning, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus was on the road that day calling out to Bartimaeus. And we know that for us here today, you're calling to each one of us specifically. There are people here whose lives need to change and move forward in deep and significant ways. And so I ask that right now as I'm praying, if there are some who need to come forward, who just need that for them to put a stake in the ground, to spend some time in prayer, to remember this moment, I ask that you give them the courage to do that. I ask that as we move forward this fall season, that you would do something in our hearts and our church like you've never done before. May we each take next steps towards you and not away from you. May we be like Bartimaeus and not like that rich young ruler. May we be like that child with simple faith, welcome to you, and not like James and John, who are just leaning on their own position and own goodness. Father, thank you that you accept even someone like me. You accept us all and you call us and you have a plan for us and you have a plan for our church. And we just ask that our lives would be changed and we change our world. Give us that opportunity. Change us and help us take a next step for you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and thanks for the opportunity to gather this morning, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming this morning. If you need to come and pray, come on up. We'll stack the chairs a bit later if that's possible. And we'll see you next week. Lord bless you as you go.